It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR1 station statewide, and then online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where all the segments can be archived. Friday afternoons, during All Things Considered, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to the disabled and those among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are very grateful to be welcoming back Hawaii Fido Service Dogs, a nonprofit that has been built with volunteers from the ground up, and in 2008 were internationally accredited under ADI, the Assistance Dogs International. They can explain the significance, Hawaii Fido Service Dogs can explain the significance of service dogs coming from the right sources, and they can also explain the many ways that the animals they train can serve the disabled. There are also a lot of methods to support their efforts, including Dining with Dogs, their popular event coming up October 20th, Honolulu Country Club. And we have welcomed back today for Helping Hand, Program Director Susan Lors, Jim Kennedy, Executive Director, and one of the dogs that will probably be someone's loving companion coming up someday, and that is T, who I understand is also making a return visit. Aloha, Susan, Jim, and T. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Dave.
Good to have you guys here. And T was here as a puppy.
Yeah, I think our last visit, she was just, this was one of her first training.
And she still looks sort of like a puppy. She's growing.
She still looks like a young girl.
Very fuzzy one. Yeah. If you come a little closer. So T, and T is a Labradoodle.
Correct.
And how old now?
18 months.
Okay, so yeah, she was just a little ball of fuzz at that point. So still just a slightly larger ball of fuzz. And let's start by explaining, and you can, I guess you guys can, either of you take this. It's a Labradoodle. That's sort of a unique animal. And you guys are also unique when it comes to service dogs and both the kind of dogs that you offer and the kind of training they receive. Explain a little bit to folks. You want to take it, Jim?
Okay. Our mission is to provide well-trained, legitimate service dogs to people here in Hawaii who have disabilities other than blindness. Typically, our graduate beneficiaries have some pretty serious muscular control or balance issues, and they can be trained to do a number of tasks that assist them in improving their quality of life. In the early training, which Susan will go into, they learn about 80 commands or so, 80 to 90 commands, depending on the dog. But our dog can be trained to open doors, either with a tether or the smack the open door button. They can be used to retrieve items or go get the medicine, dropped items. And then larger dogs can be used for bracing, where an individual uses their upper body strength on the hips and the shoulder, very carefully done so neither gets injured, and to help themselves into and out of a chair, their car, or bed. So our dogs help people with disabilities other than blindness, and our dogs are a lot less obvious in terms of what they do for people, because when they're with their partner, they don't have a hard handle harness on it like another type of service dog might have. So we ask people to be really understanding and not judgmental when they see some of our dogs out in the public. They're very, very well trained, and we have 14 now still in training. Half of our candidates are veterans, and in fact, we graduated three already this year, and I think two of them were veterans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one in Maui and one here on Oahu.
And then, Susan, talking about the kinds of dogs and a little bit more about the training process that you go through.
Okay. So when I speak for the industry, the service dog industry. But I do want to make it clear that the ADA law doesn't specify that a dog has to be a certified dog. We can certify that our dogs have been trained and show the documentation and prove that they are good temperament and socialized and all that. But folks can train their own dogs, and they can go to quality dog trainers to get this done if they meet the requirements on that. So if folks want to know what those are, they're welcome to call, and I'll be able to share on that one. So.
And how long of a process do you put the dogs through? And explain the kinds. We know Labradoodle is the adorable one that you brought today, but explain why you use the certain kinds of dogs that you do.
So in the industry, we're looking for dogs with work ethics, so a working dog. And the standard is the lab. Everybody loves the lab. They're great dogs. They're social. They're easy to train. So Labrador Golden Retrievers, poodle mixes are amongst the popular dogs that are used for this work on that, because they're sturdy dogs, they're height, and they want to work, and they all have excellent retrieves. So that's what we're looking for in our dogs.
And when you were talking about you used the word legitimate earlier, Jim, explain how people who identify their dogs as service dogs when they are not actually sort of jeopardize the well-being of legitimate service dogs.
Yeah, I'd first like to say all of us being dog lovers ourselves can understand why dog lovers want to have their dogs with them at all times. What most of the people who are abusing the system don't realize is that there's a negative side of this, and that is twofold. One is it creates suspicion in businessmen. You know, is that a real service dog? And then that suspicion can carry over to real service dogs when they come in. And there could be some uncomfortable discussions going on and challenging whether or not a dog is a service dog when it is. So they don't realize that when they are doing that, they're just creating a higher level of suspicion and mistrust. What we would ask is that they rethink that and step back and try not to do that, or reduce the amount of times. And if you have a family member who's doing it, you find a sensitive way to talk to them about rethinking it.
And just imagining, I guess you're saying, you're asking those people to imagine what it would feel like to be a person with a legitimate disability who has serious challenges added to their life that the everyday person may not, and this dog is a critical element to try to alleviate some of the suffering and challenges that they may have to run into, and how their dog is unfortunately almost delegitimized by the presence of people who are, as you say, abusing or gaming the system.
Well, you said it better than I could have.
Absolutely.
That is right on the money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it's something
thank you.
I get that. You're welcome, and I understand, and I feel for anybody, and I feel for the animals. I mean, it's a strange concept. I mean, it's like an animal now born to, and they're serving, you know, and they're serving in about the most noble way. So you really wouldn't, you don't want anything to come between their mission. And for someone who thinks that they could use one of these animals in terms of the process of getting one from you guys, before we hear more about this event, which I think would probably be a great way to learn a lot about the organization in a hands-on way, discuss how it would work. So somebody's listening and they're thinking, maybe they heard you ran down a handy list of the kinds of ways these dogs could help out, bracing, leaning, different sorts of vets, different kinds of mobility issues. What would someone do? They get in touch with you and explain how it would work, either of you.
Susan does all of the vetting of applicants, and we have an application process, and I'm going to let her take it from there.
So we do have a few requirements. One, that you live in Hawaii, and I do get requests from all over the world for the dogs because there's a shortage of accredited dogs. Two, that you would be able to handle a dog physically. And our dogs are given for free, but once the dog is placed, that's a cost that people don't realize on that. And we have requirements that they do yearly vets, yearly medications for preventatives, good food, and the dogs are exercised. So they have to be able to participate. And then we also ask that they come and volunteer before the dog is placed. And it's a win-win. We get to know them. They start learning the commands, and then we can see how which dog would be matched.
How does this? It's such a important thing for somebody who's disabled, and they don't even pay for this. So then the question is, how do you guys operate? How's the funding come in?
How do we, Jim?
Okay,
that's a Jim question.
Yes. That's a Jim question. First off, we have the if we had to pay our volunteers for what they do, our budget would have to be five times what it is.
Like many nonprofits.
Yeah,
probably.
Like many nonprofits. And we have about 30 volunteers who work with us and our dogs at any given point in time. So we want to say we thank you for what you're doing. But as for raising the actual funds, pay for things like veterinary costs, kenneling, training, food, and what have you, transportation when we moved our dogs between here and Maui or the Big Island, We do it several ways. One is the just really good general public support, writing us a check.
Donations,
going online and making a donation through PayPal. Another is that we I'd spend probably a good 25%, 20-30% of my time writing grants.
Okay.
And that is a really, really big deal for us, because without those grants, you know, they probably provide a good 40-50% of our funding. And then lastly, we do fundraising.
Right, which is the event that we're
going to. Which is the event coming up in October.
On the note of the grant writing, though, Jim, and that's a real skill, because for a lot of nonprofits, it's a similar struggle to find support. And it's an art and a skill to writing grants, to try to request funds from organizations that are being very generous, and they put this money out, and they want to see proposals on it. Could you guys take advantage, if there's someone listening and they're thinking, you know, I'd really love to help them, and that's an angle of philanthropy I understand, maybe I could put that skill to work and help them get some additional grants. Would you be interested in hearing?
Absolutely. We'd like to hear about them.
Okay. Just checking, because I know that because now that we know how the organization operates with finances, there are, and I've had other guests come on, Access Surf came on. They mentioned a similar thing, and they ended up with $2,500 of additional funding through someone listening. So I put that out there. If anyone is expert or has advice or anything to offer Hawaii Fido Service Dogs in the grant writing department, it would be greatly appreciated on their end. And continuing this discussion of funding and also getting to know the organization, Dining with Dogs, it's a kind of event. It's creative, creatively named event and a creative event. It's Honolulu Country Club on October 20th. And explain what this event is, how it works to both raise funds for you, but also how it's a very special evening where people can get to know Hawaii Fido Service Dogs intimately.
Well, it is going to be a big outreach effort. It is every year. Everyone who attends will have a chance to meet at least a dozen or so of our dogs, some of them in training, some of them with their graduate partners. We have a live auction and a silent auction, and a great dinner over at the Honolulu Country Club. It starts about 5. Dinner starts about 6:45, and we hope to be all pow at 9 o'clock. There will be some programming this year that's a little different than what we had in the past. We're going to focus on our stars, our Hawaii Fido service dog stars. Mm. And those stars are our dogs and our volunteers. The people who invest 24/7 for over a year and a half with these precious fur persons to get them ready to be finally trained to perform tasks for the person with disabilities. We are going to have about a 20-minute meet and greet round robin, where people go around to each table with dogs and they let them ask questions, pet the dogs. So we're going to feature our stars this year.
That's a great way to feature them, because people can, so some of those people coming could be people who, they just want to support the organization, but they may also know someone, or they themselves may have a need for a dog. So this is a great way to, I'm just interpreting, they can ask tangible questions that would really affect maybe their own personal situation. Does the dog do this? Can I do this? Would you think that, you know, and so you get that sort of thing, but you also get to see on a more, on the financial end, you get to see where supporting this organization goes, right? So people pay to come to this event.
That's right. It's $100 a person. We have premium tables where you get some extra nice things, starting at $10,000, $5,000, $2,500, and $1,000 will get you a table of 10 of $100 seats.
That's great. And special incentives. Well, when you have animals like this, they can be a very special incentive just themselves to get to spend time with. There's something, no matter how bad your day is, when you run into one of these animals, they are, although Tia is sort of not right in my grasp. She's over there somewhere. When it comes to, so that's a way people can spend money, support the organization, have a once-in-a-lifetime kind of night where you get to meet the dogs, learn, and see the animals that are helping someone who truly is in need of assistance with their dog. It's one thing to love a dog and enjoy the comfort that you get. It's another thing to realize, wow, this animal is doing some, you know, truly spiritual kind of work.
One other thing I should toss out here. It's called Dining with Dogs. It's with our dogs.
Right, you don't bring a dog.
Not our guest dogs. And our dogs will have already eaten.
Okay. Right. That's a good, right. Do people sometimes want to bring their own? Who knows?
It's happened.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I don't think you'd bring it up. I guess I know the answer to that, or you wouldn't have brought it up. That's a dumb question on my part. Forgive me.
Every time I send an acknowledgement receipt letter, I said, now remember, it's Dining with Our Dogs, and we wish we could have others, but it's limited to them.
I get it. I get it completely. So in addition to that, which is a way to support the organization, and you mentioned it, obviously these guys are operated on grants, they're operated on the kindness of people's donations who realize the incredible support they're giving to the disabled by training these animals. Are there specific supplies, any kind of equipment, a vehicle, any kind of specific volunteer roles? The floor is yours. Unload on us all the ways that we can try to support the organization.
I'm so glad you mentioned the word vehicle. Susan has been driving a Yukon for 12 years, and it's got almost 200,000 miles. Mm-hmm. And this year, it got to the point where we had to just go ahead and buy a new vehicle. Actually, we bought a quality used vehicle. And there was one company, can I mention a company name?
Sure.
One company, Servco Foundation. Their foundation gave us $10,000 to help us toward the purchase of a $34,000 vehicle. So we had to fund the extra $24,000 out of our reserve, which is okay, but we would dearly like to replenish that money that we had had to spend to get this car. We got a Toyota 4Runner. And it's just perfect for Susan's needs and transporting dogs and food and supplies, going to training events and what have you. So we do have this need to try to replenish those funds that we drew down. And then we have our kenneling cost, which we have a unique arrangement where we can have exclusive access to a well-maintained private kennel, and that's about $1,500 a month, which is a deal when you have that many dogs coming and going through the system as opposed to paying them at some veterinary hospital. Medication, vet treatment, we have a lot of vets that we work with, and many of them give us some good discounts. If there are other veterinarians out there who might like to help us, we'd sure like to meet you and appreciate any assistance you can give us that way. Those are the really big things. Food, we provide quality food. I'll let Susan talk about the food part because that's a real important one.
And
healthy
any
dogs.
Other, and any
and
other
any
things
other thing.
That you think are needed on the volunteer or on tangible specific supplies?
Well, the money is always good because then we can buy our specifics, but our dogs are required to wear vests. Some of them do have harnesses. We have all the training equipment and tools and things like that. That adds up. They wear out. Even things like dog toys and dishes and dog treats and added
Our budget this year is at $140,000. And again, we can only do that because we have so many volunteers.
Right. You have a lot of volunteers. You have a lot of good people. And anything on the food that you wanted to mention, what you feed them or needs or way anyone could support that?
Probably the best, because we need to feed specific, would be money
right.
to
and
get that,
so that, you
that
can get
food
them.
On there. Although we have talked to a couple distributors on that. Hasn't quite worked out yet, but we're not giving up.
Right. So if there's a distributor or somebody who has a pet supply store, they're listening and they're thinking, I wonder if maybe I could get involved and support them. They could also reach out to you, kind of like a vet, saying. There's a lot of resources out there. So people hearing, maybe I can defray that. Maybe I can take a bite out of that. Maybe I can be their supplier. You never know. Until you ask, the answer is definitely no. And then when you ask, you never know what can happen.
And we take at least 2 years per dog, sometimes more, 2 or 3 years. So it's not just a 1 year of doing this. This is ongoing. And then we do stay with our teams for the life of the dog and offer support and help them out. And they all become part of the Hawaii Fido family. And part of their buy-in is they give back to the community, they give back to us. And when we need speakers to go, like to Aloha United Way or to the Sony, those folks come back and help us.
Sure. And they're a real example of the success of what you're doing. Because
right.
They've
you
got
see
the,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
You see it. They've got the dog. They're around. And as you pointed out, Jim, many of these people are veterans. So they've already put in... They've made a significant sacrifice that has left them disabled. So there's a...
I should note that not all of our veterans who have dogs are disabled because of military injuries.
Sure. That's a good point.
Yeah, yes.
That's a good point. Understood. And it really doesn't matter how you got disabled. It's still a lot of challenges that come along with that and a real warm and fuzzy feeling you get when you realize there is an animal trying to make a difference in that person's life. You can learn more about this organization, see some great pictures, that's for sure, of the animals that they've got who are out there serving in the community at their website, hawaiifido.org. That's hawaiifido.org. You can give them a buzz if you've got an idea for supporting them. You want to get involved in the dining with dogs. Perhaps you've got a way you can defray some cost with food or veterinary care or even provide that stuff. It's 808-638-0200. Send them an email, which may be easiest for most folks, info@hawaiifido.org. They've got about 30 volunteers, and they're looking for a lot more. So there are a lot of ways that you could join the cause and support them. Of course, Dining with Dogs is coming up on October 20th, Honolulu Country Club. At hawaiipublicradio.org, you can get the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and you can find all of our other previous Helping Hand guests waiting for you. Something we didn't mention about the event, and I'm just thinking about it right now because it's not until October 20th. You mentioned live and silent auction, so people could, and you'll correct me if I have this wrong at all, Jim, if somebody has items out there that they wanted to donate that could be used at the auction to try to make that event even more special at the Honolulu Country Club, would you be interested in hearing from them?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're always looking for more high-end items. The lower end are nice, but we want to increase the experience for our audience, having some excitement in some of the larger things that we could be auctioning, either live or silent.
And that increases the support because that's funding.
Yes,
so that's another way. I'm just trying to think of different ways that we haven't covered that people could plug in, you know, that will make a difference in your lives. It is Labradoodle T, 18 months old and soon to be of service for a person in the community who is going to be really appreciative, I can imagine. We've had Program Director Susan Lures and Executive Director Jim Kennedy, all from Hawaii Fido Service Dogs. Huge thrill to support you guys. Love what you're doing for people who are disabled and who need some assistance with the challenges they face. And I think it's just a very, very humbling thing when you look at an animal like the one that you brought and you realize what they're up to. So I'm hoping that this gets you some support and a lot of donations come in and a lot of success October 20th at the Honolulu Country Club with Dining with Dogs, Hawaii Fido Service Dogs. Thank you both for what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much,
Dave.
Appreciate it. Very good. You are so smooth.